morning. Good morning. Good to see you all. Well, this message isn't really all that convicting, per se. It's not the most super unique message, but it gave me a new way to explain a common question that I'm kind of excited about. The only problem is the analogy I have. Probably most kids don't really get the analogy either yet, so it doesn't really fix the problem all that well. But how many of you guys know how insurance works? Insurance. The idea is you pay some money to the insurance company every month or once a year, whatever, twice a year, and you can get liability. That's the cheapest you can get is a liability. And that means, that word sounds like a bad word. I remember my dad always saying, don't leave that letter like that. Liable to fall on somebody, you know? So I always thought that word liable meant something bad. But then I found out liability isn't all that bad. It just means that if you crash into somebody, you don't have to pay for their car. The insurance company is liable to fix their car or to fix them up if they have to go to the hospital or something. That's the cheapest one. And then you can pay them lots of money and you can get full coverage. And that means if you crash into somebody, then it doesn't just fix their car, it'll fix your car too. Kind of simple how that works. There's a lot more hidden clauses and small print and exclusions and things like that. But anyways, that's just kind of the idea. And I was thinking about how everyone who gets saved has liability with the good insurance of grace. You're in, how can we say it? You're in the best hands. There you go. Everyone who gets saved is automatically given liability. Let's look in Romans 8:30. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and thank you for the assurance we have of that we've been completely covered from our sins if we've trusted in you. And I pray that we would you'd work in this message, I pray, and help the kids to understand. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So is there a limit to our coverage if we sin? If we've been saved and we're under the blood, is there any limit to what sins? There's sin that doesn't get covered under the blood? There's no limit to any sin. I was listening to this song. I can't remember what group sings it, but there was a song. And it kind of had this phrase in there. I think that's how it says, there's no sin that is a match for the blood of Jesus. There's no sin that says, ha, I think I can trump that blood of Jesus there. There's no sin that can overpower the blood of Jesus. It is all powerful. There is no limit to its coverage. So we look here in Romans 6:1, here's that question. Really, really famous question. I got it again this week. Last week, I guess. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is a very... You go out soul winning. Oh, so you believe that. You get saved by faith alone, by just believing. Well, let's suppose I believe that. And let's suppose I'm saved. Doesn't that mean I can just go sinning and sinning and sinning? I get that so much, especially in Guatemala. It really, just eats me up, that I'm the guy knocking on their door. I'm the guy that's, going out of my way to get the gospel to this person, and I believe it's free, and they believe it's by works, and when do they come to my door, And, hey, buddy, get out of bed, start doing good works, It's totally reverse if their way was right. So, but that's what they say. So if you think that we're once saved, always saved, then doesn't that mean we can just go around robbing banks and shooting people? Well, that's the question. It's what everyone asks that's not saved. But let's think about this question, this verse, as if it was car insurance, okay? This is what I thought was kind of neat, be able to explain it. But like I said, most little kids don't understand about car insurance yet, but still a cool way to explain it. So let's say I go down to the insurance office and say, hey, I just bought my first car. I'm really excited. I just got my license. And I want to get some insurance. And, of course, the person there says, oh, well, I'm sure you want definitely full coverage. And since you don't have a record yet, then I'll be, probably $900 a year or something. Split that up plus interest. And, oh, man, whoa, that's a lot of money. Do you have anything cheaper? Well, you can get just the bare minimum, here at Liberty Mutual. They'll just give you just what you need and all this stuff. And you can get a really cheap one here. And, okay, well, let's do that. So the kid gets signs there on the dotted line. He gets his insurance. He's like, okay, so can I go crash my car now? What does it say in the next verse? Verse 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? Now, kids, look. That word, God forbid, doesn't mean like, it's impossible. You can't, that's impossible. It won't happen. That's not what God forbid means there, okay? It means... Well, I sure hope not. I sure hope that's not what you do. And that's just what the insurance person would say. So a kid signs the dotted line, got insurance now. Can I go crash my car now? Whoa, please, no, don't go do that. Oh, please, I sure hope you don't go crash your car right now. What would be some of the consequences if he went out and crashed his car right then? Well, give me some consequences. What would happen?
No more car.
No more car. You have a damaged car at least, What else would happen to him?
Maybe
he'd die. Could just end up in the cemetery. What else? His reputation is ruined, isn't it? His insurance will go up for sky high for another 10 years probably. He'll be paying through the nose. Pretty much you got them all here. Car might get killed. Car would get damaged. Reputation. Insurance would go up. And even though his insurance would cover all the damages that he made to another person, don't you think he'd still probably hurt that other person in some way? Let's say he just, crashed into their fence or something. Insurance covered that, but still, that poor guy has to go out there and find the lumber and rebuild his fence. And, it just took time out of his day to, fill out a police report and all this stuff. It just, in some way he hurt another person, took, or at least severely, inconvenienced him. So even though you have liability with the insurance of grace, you don't want to go on sinning. Why does it say there? Can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What are some of the consequences of sinning? Some of the consequences of sinning. You'll definitely hurt Jesus, won't you? Definitely hurt Jesus. You might get hurt too. Might get hurt. People that go out and do things their parents told them not to do, they pretty much always get hurt in some way. You might even die. Some sins, God's like, you know, I'm not going to fool around here. I'm just going to take you home. Your reputation will definitely suffer a blow. Everyone will remember you as that person who did that sin. No matter how many good things you did before, everyone will always remember that about you. Your reputation will definitely get a blow. And Pastor Derek got to my last point here, but even if you think you just said, you know what, I'm just going to, that sin is such a secret sin, it's just in my brain, no one will ever know. Well, who does know? Jesus knows, doesn't he? There's no sin that only affects you. Every sin out there will affect someone. And if you think it doesn't, won't affect anyone around you, it definitely affects Jesus. Guatemala or in Mexico as well. It's super irritating. I feel like I just gave this analogy. I don't know if I'm repeating myself. If I start repeating myself, definitely tell me because it's really irritating. I really hate that one. I get to listen to the same story all the time. But anyways, they say a lot, oh, that gringo, he's loaded. You know, and they don't really understand exchange rates all that great. They think, you know, because it's 20 to 1 or 7 to 1 that, you know, it's way more money than that. And it just, yeah, but, you know, there's a lot more zeros to buy what they have, you know. It just, it's the same. But then, he's loaded. He won't even feel it. You know, he'll pay whatever the price. And they say he won't even feel it. That's their favorite phrase to use. But, you know, I still feel it, you know. No matter how much money, let's say I had at the moment, I still felt that purchase, believe it or not. And, you know, we kind of have the same idea for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you know, he's rich. He's forgiving. You know, he won't even feel it. And Jesus feels it. Let's look here in Hebrews 6:6. It kind of alludes to that there in Romans 6, but it says it very clear here in Hebrews 6:6. Hebrews 6:6. For if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to open shame. It's kind of taking this a little bit out of context, but the principle is there. When we sin, what are we doing? After we sin after we're saved. We're throwing Jesus on the cross again. We're just digging up our old man and raising him up out of that grave and saying, come on, old man, let's have some fun together. And putting Jesus to open shame. It affects Jesus. Our sin affects Jesus. Jesus feels it. There is no sin, however, though, that can go against the blood. We're all covered by liability if we're saved. Well, there's a lot of people in there that don't even have insurance, especially nowadays. People you get crashed into these days. I remember I was working in Pasco and I was training another guy to drive this truck, and he went past the stop sign just a little bit, and he didn't have to go backwards, but he went backwards anyways to, you know, get back in there. He didn't realize that there was a car right behind him, and he bumped into it and went back there, and it was a Hispanic lady and her son. she was gibbering around in Spanish, and she said in Spanish, "Should we tell them that we don't have insurance?" Like, too late now, I just heard. But, we didn't call the cops, and she was still going crazy about, "I'm the one who gets crashed and doing, I have to pay the consequences." "No, lady, you know, it's our fault. We'll pay for it, don't worry." But a lot of people nowadays don't have insurance. And when you don't have insurance and you crash and it's your fault, you have to pay for all the damages you've caused yourself, the hospital bill. If you have to go to the hospital, you get to pay for it. And if you hurt someone else, you have to pay for that bill too. And if you damage their car, you have to pay for that. And plus, to cherry on top is you get a ticket for not having insurance too. Around $300. Ask me how I know. But those who aren't saved, guess what? They're not covered by the insurance of grace. And that ticket just isn't $300. What is it? It's the worst sin. The worst sin, the unforgivable sin, is rejecting the gift of Jesus. Saying no to the insurance of grace and saying, "No, I think I'll pay. I think I'll pay for it." And the ticket isn't just $300. It's hell and then the lake of fire. So I sure hope everyone here has at least liability on your car, but definitely for your soul, the insurance of grace. But that's not what I want to preach about. I want to preach about, do you have full coverage? Do you have full coverage? Remember what I said about full coverage? Full coverage is not just being liable, not just being having all the damages covered. If you go and crash into somebody, or if you sin, having your sins covered. But beyond that, do you have full coverage for when bad things happen? You have full coverage. How do you get full coverage? I don't mean you have to put more than 10% back there to get the beta version of grace. No. It's, are your activities, covered by grace in the policy? See, you can have full coverage on your car. Go pay the extra money and go get full coverage on your car and go light it on fire because you think it's ugly and you want a new one. They're not going to give you a new one. I remember my dad telling me a story about, he was, you know, back in the days when he was really poor and just starting there in Pasco, and he would, you know, fix cars and sell them. And that's kind of how he fed us when he was just starting out. And he bought this one car, and he realized, I think he realized, that, I don't remember what kind of car it was, but the fuel pump was right above the muffler, and it was kind of like the same build as a water pump. It has that little eyelet there where it, when it breaks down, it drips out of that little hole there and right on top of the muffler. Really bad design in a car. But anyway, I don't know if it was on top of the muffler or on top of the exhaust manifold or something really hot there. And he was out soul winning and driving around some trailers, and I think he knew about this, but he, you know, really just wanted to get rid of this car and thought, hey, whatever happens, happens, you know. And so he's out there soul winning, and it caught fire. And he thought, well, cool. Guess this will be great. And get the insurance to pay for a new one here. And pretty soon, you know, it's on fire, smoke's coming out, and he's just standing by there and, you know, make sure he got everything out of the car. And this cop pulls up. He thought, oh, this would be perfect. You know, I'm a long ways away from home, and, you know, so get a cop report and everything. And yeah, They don't have any other choice. Well, quick as a flash, this cop comes out with a fire extinguisher and puts out the fire. There you go, sir. Dad's like, thanks, man. Great. Didn't go quite how he had it planned there. Apparently, it did the same thing a little bit later and burned down. He got a new one. But anyways, but we can do things and activities, go places, do things that are outside of grace's coverage. And when things go wrong, we don't have the coverage of God's grace to help us through these problems. A couple of things I just kind of threw down here quickly. Do you remember when Jehoshaphat went with Ahab, you know, against Micah's counsel? What almost happened to Jehoshaphat? He almost got killed. He got surrounded there and cried out to the Lord, and Lord made a way for him to get out of that situation and just barely got out of that battle by the skin of his teeth. Then he got a good chewing out there later when he got home too. Josiah, you know, man used of God, and it seemed like it was Jeremiah's, you know, pet peeve as a king there. You know, did a lot of work there in the temple and things, but he went out fighting against King Necho there of Egypt. Got out of grace's coverage there and got killed in that battle. Because, you know, he got out of the coverage of God's grace. I remember a guy, it was really remarkable how it all happened there. I was talking to my brother-in-law, Andrew. We were at the park with the kids, and I just asked him about soul winning and fruit, and, you know, how is it that you and my dad, you know, have so much fruit and all this stuff, and people are getting saved, and I remember him just saying, you know, well, I'll just show you, you know, see that guy out there on the park bench, let's go talk to him, if you just watch. I'm like, okay, fine, just watch. Goes out there, leads the guy to the Lord, guy comes to church, brings his family, got baptized, and, you know, I'm just like, man, he just makes it look so easy, you know. And I remember that guy, we'd go out and visit him all the time, and then he got this idea in his head that he was just going to leave Pasco and go somewhere else where there was a better job and something, and he called my dad several months later, maybe a year later, and he was crying. You know, he had a question about cremation. His baby was stillborn, and not saying that that's why he lost his baby or anything, but in asking if there was any churches in this area, and obviously he hadn't been going to a church, and you know, but just think of it. He had all the coverage of grace to get him through that situation there at that church, but he went off rambling around, roaming around some other place, getting, not even going to church anymore, and getting out of grace's coverage. You know, he had, let's say the same scenario happened while he was in church, you know. It could have totally happened while he was in going to a church, but think of all the support he would have had there, being under the coverage, full coverage of grace, be able to get him and his family through that situation. And I'm sure all of us have way better stories than that. I probably have a better story than that too. I just didn't think of one. But see, when we are where we're supposed to be, and when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, no, that doesn't necessarily keep bad things from happening to us. Bad things can still happen to us. They probably will be a lot fewer between, like we were talking about yesterday at men's breakfast. But it means that we have access to all the benefits that will come with full coverage. if you get full coverage, and you can even get, you know, add on to full coverage, some companies, you know, say, you know, you get broken down, we'll send a mechanic out there, and if the mechanic can't fix it in a certain amount of time, then we'll give you a rental car, and you could run around in a rental car till we get it fixed and bring it back to you. You know, and they have all these kind of promotions for getting full coverage and all these benefits. But, you know, bad things happen to Christians that are in God's will. But we have access to the benefits of having full coverage of grace. I was thinking about this. I don't know for sure if this is true or not, but kind of think that might be. That it's not the bad things that happen to Christians when they're in God's will that makes them bitter. You know, Christians serving God and is in God's will, and something bad happens to them, and I'm not really convinced that those are things that make Christians bitter and make them want to quit. But that it's when a Christian gets out of God's will and out of that full coverage and something bad happens to him, and he doesn't have full coverage of grace to help him through that situation, that he gets bitter. Kind of, there's some verses about that. You know, there's no temptation given to you such as common to man, but God is faithful, that not willing to tempt you above it, but you're able, but with, also with the temptation make a way of escape. Probably messed that verse up, but you know how it goes. Because they don't have the benefits of full coverage of grace to help them through that. I've noticed that in Guatemala. I mean, it's possible that I haven't lived long enough to have gotten hurt bad enough or had a bad enough thing happen to me, but whenever something bad happened to us in Guatemala, it never seemed all that bad. I mean, it was, you know, tough, but because of all the help and encouragement we got, because we were in God's will, doing what we knew we were supposed to be doing, it really helped us get through those problems. The children of Israel, you know, out there in the desert for 40 years, imagine all the other nations, the Egyptians, hearing about the news from the children of Israel, or the Edomites hearing news about the children of Israel, and just looking at them and thinking, man, look at what their God's making them do. Walking the baton out there, you know. 40 years wandering around out there. And that's just terrible. But if we went and interviewed an Israelite out there, not one of the ones that were complaining, but one of the grateful ones, you could see, you know, look, interview them, see how they are suffering. It says it in Deuteronomy, but it also says it pretty good in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah 9:19. Nehemiah 9:19. Let's find Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9:19 says, "Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, so they possess the land of Sihon, king of the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan." Anyways, you know, 40 years. I mean, who's ever heard of, you know, living out in the desert for 40 years? I mean, that's a long time for a lot of people. And they were all very well, you know, no stores, nothing, you know, just out there. And well provided for and well clothed, and Their shoes, I mean, I still haven't found a pair of shoes that'll last me a year yet, you know? And I buy some pretty expensive shoes, try them out, and they always seem to fall apart within about a year. But, you know, their shoes lasted that whole time. And their clothes as well. Because, you know, they had full coverage. They're out there, you know, even though they weren't in the right where God wanted them to be at that time, they were still in God's will. And they had full coverage there, full direction, full all their necessities taken care of. Many times a missionary will say, you know, when he's going somewhere dangerous and all the family's worried about him, and people ask him, aren't you scared? You know, it's a very famous thing they always say, you know. Safest place to be is in the center of God's will, isn't it? They always say something like that. And it's true. Because they get full coverage of grace there. Even if something bad happens to them, they have the grace to go through. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:7. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought of the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now we kind of think about this maybe when we're sick. I know I do. I get sick sometimes and laying in bed, and I don't really see myself being a super Christian when I'm sick. I don't know, maybe it's just me, I'm really backslidden, but I don't really feel like a very great Christian when I'm sick. But because, you know, you have that word infirmities there, and you kind of think that just mainly refers to that. But it also, you know, refers to all these other things there, and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses. I, looking back, you know, when things were going wrong, and I was, you know, serving the Lord, you know, I could see that there's always Christians coming along and helping me out and giving me the benefits of, you know, having full coverage. I mean, if I hadn't been in God's will and was just doing my own thing and something bad happened to me, you know, I probably wouldn't be very many Christians coming around beside me and giving me a hand and helping me out, would there? But when I was in God's will and doing what I was supposed to be doing, they all came to encourage me and to help out. And it was always a time of harvest in the church and encouragement in the church. And people in the church were always, you know, realize, you know, hey, the pastor's human, you know, we got to help him out, and rising up to the challenge, and it was always an encouraging time, even though there were hard times. Good things happened, and I believe because, you know, I had full coverage. Let's finish here in Romans 8:28. Probably all know it by heart. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Question is, are you aware there's full coverage? Are you in God's will? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone here that maybe there's some here that aren't saved, they're not insured by grace, and they're going to have to pay for the damages and also worst of worst, pay for for not having their sins covered that they could have had so freely, but because their pride and kept putting off Jesus and kept putting off Jesus, and maybe be acting like they made a profession of faith when that before, and but realize that they're not saved. I pray that they would get full coverage of your grace, so that their sins would not be brought up on the day of judgment. But Lord, I pray for everyone else that is saved, Lord, including myself, that I would always be in your will. If I'm not, that you would show me where it is to be, so that I can have the grace to help me out in times of need, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.